Fox Sports 1480 AM, 102.5 FM. The Gambler. In Philly, there's a group that brings diehard sports fans together as one big family through tailgate and road trips. Now the guys from Green Legion are bringing the tailgate to the airwaves. Quimby, Hollis Tank Thomas, Michael Diaz, and Chris Sack always keep the party going, so crack a beer. Take a shot and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
Good evening, Philadelphia, and welcome to another exciting edition of Bud Light Green Legion Radio live here on Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS AM around the rest of the Delaware Valley, or simply download that iHeartRadio app and listen to us anywhere crystal clear worldwide. We are broadcasting to you live from Crab du Jour off of Route 130 North in Delran, New Jersey, where will we be for the next few weeks here until the Fin opens up in Philadelphia, right by the Fillmore. So we'll be out here with the player show, hanging out with you guys. Please rate, review, subscribe, download the show on iTunes and Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio. I'm Chris Sack, proud to be your host this evening, sitting in for my boy Quimby, and I am sitting alongside some awesome colleagues of mine here, up here, like set up. It's unbelievable. Mike Diaz has made the trek down this week from Audubon, Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for coming down and gracing us with your presence, Diaz.
Thank
now,
you.
Now, moving on to Dave Spadaro. Eagles insider Dave Spadaro is here with us yet again this week. How are you doing there, Dave?
Oh, doing great after that game Sunday.
Yeah, well, you were the closest with the prediction. You did predict, I think it was 28-13 was your prediction last week.
Well, stick with me.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
smart
guys.
Man right
Thank
there.
You. Thank you.
At the end of the table, we're going to skip over our guest before I introduce him, is 15-year NFL veteran, 10 years with your Philadelphia Eagles, number 78 in your program, but number one in your hearts, Hollis Tank Thomas. What's going on, big dog?
Just chilling, man. Especially, just like Dave said, after a sweet victory, it can't get no better than this.
Oh, it does taste great.
Yes.
And also, we are joined by our intern, Super Sam, who just ran out the door, and we have our producer in the house, slash holding it down as well. But let's get to our special guest this week, because this is the player show. And yes, we do have Tank, but we always need to have somebody else along with us. We have 11-year NFL veteran linebacker, 3 years with your Philadelphia Eagles, and 2 years that we'd like to forget with the hated Dallas Cowboys, and current Eagles analyst for Fox in Philadelphia, Mr. G. Cobb. What's going on, G?
How's everybody doing? I'm glad to be here, and that was... I like what I saw on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Oh, didn't we all?
Love
didn't
it.
We all? We're going to dive right into that here shortly. We do have a couple announcements to make here. MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry is bringing to you this first segment for all your residential contracting needs. This is who you want to talk to. Everything from additions, renovations, kitchens, baths, closet organization, cabinetry, vanities, basements, everything you need. Mention the Green Legion and get 10% off of your order, regardless of how much. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. Also, make sure you guys go to greenlegion.com and sign up for the 49ers tailgate this upcoming Sunday for the home opener. $60, all you can eat and drink from 8 a.m. to noon, and our Green Legion Radio pregame show from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. live from 1100 Social Xfinity Live. Make sure you guys sign up. We have 450 people have signed up for that so far, Diaz.
Yeah, we got 450 cross that this afternoon.
Awesome, and we're looking at a sellout, so make sure you guys go to greenlegion.com as soon as possible. Also, sign up while you're there if you're going to Dallas for the Monday Night Football game in a couple weeks. I know probably G is probably going there. But the Dallas tailgate, when we take over Dallas Sucks for Monday Night Football on Monday, September 27th, plenty of tailgate spots down there. You don't want to miss it. The food is going to be fantastic, so make sure you guys get there as well. And we are also brought to you by here, Bud Light Green Legion Radio is brought to you by Stateside Vodka, The Next Sip, Kavanaugh's Restaurants, Delilah's, City Fitness Philadelphia, Echelon Health and Fitness, The King of Prussia Diner, now open, Cherry Hill Triplex, The Fin, and Twin Spires Sportsbook, which we'll talk more on that coming up later on in the show. But before we talk about this past Sunday's game between the Eagles and the Falcons looked extremely pathetic, does everybody know what time it is? It's tank time, baby.
Tank time.
Take it away, baby.
It is September the 16th. 2021. It's the 259th day of the year. There's 106 of these puppies remaining. Now, when I went to events, there was something weird going on. And I say weird because the Thursday night game, they played in 1937. It was the first time that they faced each other on this very night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Didn't even know that.
That's good trivia.
The football team, it was the football team. It was the other word.
Will you teach me to football?
And then I went to 1984 when Miami Vice premiered.
Okay. Nice.
Then I went to 1993 when, you'll notice this, the theme is premieres. 1993 when Frasier premiered.
Good show. Solid spinoff.
1996 when Judge Judy premiered.
Never saw it.
You never watched
Judge Judy? That's one of Tank's top five shows.
That's gotta be. Yeah. SpongeBob, Judge Judy, and Maury.
Maury, yes. They have a couple of birthdays. Do you guys know what JC and JC Penney means?
No.
It means James Cash. It's James Cash Penney. Today is his birthday, 1875. Not that he's around or anything. Just figured you guys should know that one. So JC stands for James Cash.
An appropriate middle name.
The last name is Change, and then Cash is the middle name. Right? I mean, the guy's all about money.
All about money.
Exactly. 1956, David Copperfield. 1964, Molly Shannon. 1968, Mark Anthony. 1971, Amy Poehler. 1986, Kylie Pratt. 1992, Nick Jonas. Interesting. And 1958, Jennifer Tilly.
Who's Kylie Pratt?
She's an actress. Yes.
What kind of actress?
A hot actress. Not a sexual thing. She's a nah. She's not that. And so today Quimby, Quimby the other day he texted me about, but we're playing the 49ers next. And so he was asking me if I had any glorified 49ers stories. But I don't have any with the Eagles. The only one I have is with the Saints. But my first playoff game was against a Steve Young led 49ers team, in which they brought back a center who was coming off of heart surgery, and so this is how sadistic football is. We switched the defense up to a 3-4, so I lined up over Jesse. I can't think of his last name. You remember him,
Jesse Cipollo?
Yeah, Jesse Cipollo.
Yeah,
and I was
solid pool. By
yeah,
day.
I destroyed it. I was destroying him the entire game. I was destroying him so much that after the game, my dad was like, "Did you notice every time that Steve Young did something, he looked back at the center?" Because the first snap of a game, I pretty much destroyed him. But the other part of that game was Jeffrey Osborne sang the national anthem. And I was a rookie at that time. So the other times we lost to the 49ers. So there you go, Quimby. Those are my 49ers stories.
Okay, I'll throw it out. What is your most memorable Eagles 49ers game?
Most memorable Eagles 49ers game?
Yeah. I have one locked and loaded.
Is it Coy Detmer?
No.
It was
a damn good one.
That was a good one, yeah.
Well, when he broke his arm?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Monday Night Football? He did the big wiggle, too.
AJ Feely?
Are you talking about the time when we were in the red zone countless amounts of times and we could not get in?
No, it was
It's a good one.
Was that the fireworks?
1994.
Yeah, I wasn't here.
You guys were all born?
I was born,
but I wasn't here.
I was eight.
Where were you in 94?
I was in college.
Eagles go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And Charlie Garner.
That's right.
C. Garner.
Goes crazy.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Eagles 40, Niners 8.
Yeah.
And the Niners end up winning the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Yeah, they completely smoked the Chargers.
Yeah.
Absolutely
yeah,
they, smoked them.
But for one day.
Well, it woke them up.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually the wake-up call.
Yeah.
And there's one thing that I'm going to take from Tank Time today is the simple visual of Hollis at a Jonas Brothers concert. I'm not going to be able to get that out
Fiona
of
Apple.
Head.
I'm sorry. It's better than Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, eventually at some point during the course of the player show this season, we're going to have to dive further into that one with Diaz because he did go to a Fiona Apple concert and let's just say it didn't wind up well for him.
I did not come out unscathed.
Exactly.
But, and that's what I got for you. Thank, time
thank you very
Would
much.
Would you rather go to a Jonas Brothers concert or a Taylor Swift concert?
If you ask Sean Henderson, it's a Taylor Swift concert, and you have a daughter, eventually you're going to be going to one yourself.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to be a Swiftie?
You're going to be a Swiftie, but I'll tell you what, though, because that's an elephant in the room. Eventually, you're going to have to address it. But the one that we'd love to talk about in the first segment every single week is what happened with the Eagles this past Sunday. The Eagles absolutely destroyed and throttled the Atlanta Falcons this past Sunday afternoon. 32-6 blowout win. It was a lot of fun. Just to watch it as a fan. Last year, it was so painful. It was like, you know, every single game, every single Eagles game last year was a, you know,
like watching the Phillies?
It was like root canal. Hey.
Sorry.
You bite your tongue there. Or watching Ben Simmons try to take a jump shot.
Woo!
No, but the Eagles, for the last few years, never made it easy on themselves in any game.
It's always been difficult.
And so, you know, there were wins and there were playoff appearances, but it wasn't like go in and take care of business like the team did on Sunday. That's what was beautiful about it. Whether or not the Falcons are any good or not, the Eagles went in and handled them. And everything that happened that you wanted to see, Nick Sirianni showed that he had some energy and like he was going to go for it. He's going to be daring. That's great. Defensive coordinator, they shut a tight end down. They stopped the run. Rookie wide receivers, a stud. And Jalen Hurts played great.
Dave, real quick, before we dive into the biggest thing that we all took away from this past Sunday's game, please update us on the injured players that came out of Game 1 and their status as we head into Game 2 against the Niners.
I think everybody's going to be okay, except we don't know about Rodney McLeod yet. But JJ's back on the practice field. Brooks is still limited, but Brandon Brooks is still... All of a sudden, you're like a big JJ. I think a white side guy, yeah!
Yeah, he had some nice blocks in that game.
Pro Football Focus's number one rated run blocker in Week 1.
Yeah.
For all positions.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
When you're looking at wide receivers, you've got to look at their run blocking. I mean,
he's supposed to catch the ball.
He's also doing his job, so if that's the job he has, right?
That's what it's about. I mean, because they were able to get off to a good start, I thought, because of that.
Yeah. So we don't know about Rodney McLeod. Brandon Brooks has been resting. I think he'll play. Who else?
Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz is on the practice field, limited. Or he's okay. He's getting treatment. He came back in the game, so I'm not worried about him. And Marcus Epps back on the field after a concussion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So he was quick recovery there.
Yeah, because he was laying there for a hot second. It reminded me of seeing Mike Mamula knocked out in the Pittsburgh game. He got kicked in the head, and he was just kind of laying there. It was bad.
Was he out?
He was out like a light. I'm talking about like, and when I saw Epps there, he was like his hand was like reaching for something. And I've seen him like that, Mike Mamula like that, and Troy Vincent like that when Morton saw Dawkins about to hit him, and he just ducked.
You know, Matt Ryan kind of looked like that, too. Diaz, did you have something?
Well, just about the injury report here. Are we load managing already after week one of the season?
We're load managing all preseason.
17-game schedule, man. 17-game schedule.
Wait a minute.
There's no attendance at practice.
Spuds, do not take that crap from him.
No, load managing.
No, do not take that from him. That's what they do with the Sixers.
Yeah, looks like Fletcher Cox, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce.
So what?
I'm just saying, is that going to be new? Is that what should we expect that week in and week out?
Yeah, around the league.
Especially with a player that has an injury history like Brandon Brooks, you need to maintain him. You have to get him
through
the season.
With all of them. There's age on that offensive line. It's smart to do it.
Absolutely. So, guys, what is the biggest thing that we took away from this game? I'm going to start at the end of the table. Tank, what's the biggest thing that you took away from the Eagles W this past Sunday?
The biggest thing I took away from it is they were going to seize the moment. They were going to take what the team gave them. A lot of people were worried about us not going deep, but we just took what they gave them and we exploited. We exploited their defense, and we ran the ball and we passed the ball the way we were supposed to. I feel like we're back to being competitive, and I feel like it's going to be an exciting team to watch. The main thing I took from it is like we were not going to let a team whose ass we were supposed to kick go unkicked.
Sounds great, G.
Well, I thought the biggest thing was Jalen Hurts, because they had a situation where they had a situation where there were blitzers coming free the whole day, and Dean Pease was aggressively trying to get after the Eagles offense, but every time the blitzer came free, he couldn't tackle Jalen in the open field, and he would just wait till the last second, sidestep him, run for 15 yards, sidestepping, run. And make a completion, and he was really cool under the pressure, and he really just basically destroyed their game plan, which is they were going to blitz him. It didn't work because the blitzer wasn't able to make a tackle on him.
Yeah, very elusive. Dave?
I loved both of those, but I'll just do something different for the sake of doing something different. Red zone defense, and then the way the defense got better after the first two drives. Atlanta had 59 total net yards and 6 first downs in the second half. That is domination, and I'm glad to see an Eagles defense dominate and not let a tight end kill it.
I liked Nick Sirianni's approach to the game plan, being aggressive on the road, his first game, first time calling plays, went for two, went for it on fourth down a couple times. The aggressiveness, it's what wins today. And after a season kind of where that they won it all, having that same type of mindset, and it was great to see it again. And also, man, having an offensive line again, watching Kelsey come out, watching Mailata just level guys, it was awesome. It was so good. Good stuff.
Yeah, now, see, there seems to be a lot of buzz around this team after 1 week. You know, a lot of people are trying to change their expectations on this team after week one. And listen, you know, is it so much that the Falcons are that bad? Are the Eagles that good? Or is it a combination of both? G, what do you have?
I would have to say that I thought the Eagles were probably the main part of it. But the Falcons, you know, I mean, the way they quit, that you know, they stopped playing with passion. I mean, I don't understand what's going on over there. But I thought the big thing was them stopping them early. See, those were huge stops.
Big time.
They kept them out of the end zone.
Took a lot of wind out of their sails.
If they had a scored, we probably would definitely have a completely different game. So I guess you give the defense credit for hanging in there and keeping them out of the end zone and then taking over the game.
Okay, Dave.
I mean, it's week to week in the NFL. I don't care. What happened last week? This is a great test on Sunday. I think this is a great test.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the Eagles fans, people who didn't believe in the Eagles, you go, hey, there's a win against Atlanta. Hey, San Francisco's coming in. I like that matchup. And then, oh, there's Dallas without DeMarcus Lawrence and without this and without that. And you go, wow, this all of a sudden might be a season.
Things are starting to set up for
just
you.
But you have to see how a team handles success.
Yeah.
And sometimes it could be a cruel tease.
I think mainly that I took away from this that they fed you guys what you're supposed to be fed, a nice big piece of humble pie, because you don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. Everybody was picking the Falcons, and they were talking about, I told you the team would be entertaining because they were young and they were competitive. And when you look at what you're trying to build, a winner, that's what you look for. A young competitive team that's not looking to lose for draft pick status, DS.
We'll have a draft pick segment later on in the show.
To sleep easy.
You're going to update us on where the Eagles would be drafting with Miami's first round pick and with.
We're getting to that later on.
That's good stuff.
I love it.
In the second hour, there's no doubt about it.
So this is the guy you were talking about who's got that other problem, too. Right?
Yeah,
Diaz has many problems. Most of them are mental.
G-Cub, I got a profile on you later. You got to be nice to me during the show. First hour, be nice to me, and you can pick on me later.
Yeah, good deal.
Now, I kind of want to pick up where Diaz said what he picked up in the game the other day, and it's about the head coach and the coaching staff. It's a young coaching staff. It's a young head coach. Nick Sirianni, very impressive debut as a head coach. Looked in control. Too many penalties, 14 for 89 and 0 for 2 on fourth down. But I thought when he went to fourth down, he made the right decisions on those calls. But the team looked calm, they looked focused, they looked organized. Dave, I heard that he gave like a great speech on Saturday night. I know that you were here in Philadelphia. You weren't down in Atlanta like you normally would be in previous seasons. Do you have any intel on what he said to the team to jumpstart them?
Yeah, it's a storyteller, and it's a realize what you've done to get to this moment kind of story. And just for him, it really meant a lot to have gotten to that point and to have this team believe in him and to buy into everything that they've been selling since he got to Philadelphia. So, you know, that's kind of his story. And it was it's really with Nick, it's a story every day. Like, he's a big storyteller. He tries to connect the dots with everything. And I think the players are understanding of, like, where he's coming from, that they live in the moment and they appreciate living in the moment. So that's really what I got from the very little bit that I've talked to people who were in the room.
I think Arthur Smith was probably at the top of most of the new coaching list. And what was impressive about the game is that you could see that the Eagle, I mean, they performed well, but they're bought in, at least at this point. And on Atlanta, you know, Arthur Smith in this offense, he's going to bring it over here to Atlanta. And they just gave up in the second half. You know, kudos to the Eagles for playing well, but, man, like,
game one at home, this great new head coach. You got all these young pieces, and they just gave up.
Gee, did you ever play for a brand new head coach? Like when you got to a team. I mean, you played in Detroit. You played here with the Eagles.
You played in Detroit.
You played with Dallas.
Yeah. Wow.
Played in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Did you ever? Were you ever on a team that had a new head coach that came in? And what kind of philosophies did they try and change themselves? I know Hollis can speak on Andy Reid, but you know, from your standpoint.
Well, when I was here, you know, first year here. You know, who was at Marion Campbell. The first year of Buddy was a major difference. Just completely different. Because Buddy was an entertainer. You know, so he would tell the team one thing and he would tell the media another. And he, you know, tried to be funny and he wanted to have people talking about him. And he did a good job of that. I thought he was an outstanding defensive coordinator. But he really wasn't a good head coach. From this standpoint, with Randall Cunningham, he said, well, we just need four or five plays out of Randall every game. And to put together an offensive line, all we need is five fat guys. Now, he had little respect for the offensive side of the game because he had been battling it all his life as a defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So he was an outstanding defensive coordinator. And for a good while, he was ahead of the entire league. Like, he really was the key to why Chicago won that Super Bowl. But he didn't have any respect for the opposite side of the game. So he didn't develop Randall. Randall, really, his growth was stunted because of the way Buddy treated him. Because Randall wouldn't stay in the pocket and learn how to be a pocket passer.
Right.
Because he was just trying to make those four or five big plays. And he really didn't become the quarterback that...
Just think... Had he, I know we only got 1 minute.
Oh, but we got less.
Okay, we got less than 1 minute. But just think of the stuff that he did in Minnesota. Had he did it when he
was playing. That's what I'm saying. He was capable
Eagles.
Of that.
It's blasphemy, Gary. Mm-hmm. These young boys, they don't know, but it's blasphemy to suggest to Eagles fans from those days that Buddy Ryan was not a good coach. Because I've had the conversation many times.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to talk about Buddy Ryan,
he made the Eagles relevant again. That was
the
big thing.
Right. Now there were certain parts.
You've got to break together.
All right, so what we'll do is when we come back on the other side, I want to hear Tank's approach when Andy Reid came in as the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to touch on that and get his stance from those end of things. So coming up on the other side in the second segment, we'll get to that on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Green Legion Radio, the player show here coming up right after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
And welcome back to Bud Light Green Legion Radio here at the Crab du Jour off Route 130 North in Delran, New Jersey. Make sure you guys come on down here. We're going to be here for the next couple weeks.
Last week I had to go the, it's like a big bag of scallops, crawfish, potatoes, corn. It was with this incredible sauce. It was delicious.
Mouth-watering, delicious seafood for a great value. Honesty and quality is what
I had some today.
All accurate. All accurate.
All right, so before we dive back in here and we talk more about the Eagles-Falcons game this past Sunday, we're going to touch on one of our new sponsors, Twin Spires Sportsbook. Make sure you guys go to Twin Spires and download the app and get in there right now. We are happy to announce our newest partner, Twin Spires, and they've got a great deal exclusively for the Green Legion. Check this out. Sign up with Twin Spires using the code LEGION10. Place a bet of $10 or more on any NFL game, and once your bet has settled, you'll receive $250 in free bets. As if $250 of free bets wasn't enough. All season long, all new users that sign up using the code LEGION10 will be entered to win two game tickets and two tailgate passes to every home game this season. Each game's winner will be announced the day before the game. If you sign up this week and don't win, you will still be eligible for all remaining seven home games this season. Also, for the Green Legion, every Saturday, Twin Spires will release a weekly odds or profit boost on the Birds game that week, exclusive for everyone who signs up with the promo code Legion10. Sign up at twinspires.com using code Legion10 or check out any of our social media for direct links or QR code to register and deposit. That's awesome stuff, guys. $10. You can deposit more if you want to, but all you need to do is put in $10. $250 of free bets. That's awesome stuff. And thank you to our sponsors over there at Twin Spires Sportsbook. Hollis, I teased it before we went into break. Okay, now I know how much you love Big Red. You guys have a father-son relationship.
No, we don't.
Yes, you do. I know of this wholeheartedly.
He was crying when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. He was so happy. Well, and proud
we were talking
son.
About Nick Sirianni being the new head coach, a rookie head coach, and we were lucky enough. G. Cobb was on the team for the Eagles when Buddy Ryan came in, and he gave us his point of view on how things changed when he took over that team. Hollis, I want to know, when Big Red came in his first season in 1999, what were the changes, what were the noticeable differences that you had for a head coach that came in and took over for Ray Rhodes?
The noticeable difference was that they were trying to do everything first class. They had given it was not we had meager accommodations, so to speak. We were in Veterans Stadium, and some things that were less than stellar, he took care of like right away, and made sure.
So he got an exterminator in there.
Pretty much, and made some things happen ASAP. And he kind of weeded out the naysayers and the trimmed the fat, because as a player, you notice when you're on a team. Sometimes there's guys that are not fully vested, and you can't do anything about it because you're a player. So you just kind of do your job, and if the coach doesn't get rid of that, then you just kind of do your job and then try to move on to a team that does. He was able to come in and trim the fat. He got rid of a lot of guys who are not total troublemakers, but they didn't want to conform to the winning attitude. And when I say winning attitude, it's the way you go about doing things. You get to do all the little things so that when you're out there playing, the little things that are the different nuances in the defense or the offense that you're in, you pay attention to those as well. If you don't do it off the field, you're not going to do it on the field. So there was a lot of guys who were late for meetings, who didn't show up for stuff, and you know, they just let it go by the wayside. When he came in there, he pretty much cracked the whip. And, you know, it was like, if you're going to come my way, it's my way or no way. And it's a team way.
He made people accountable.
Yeah, he held people accountable for their actions, yeah.
We should bring him into the Sixers locker room and get Ben Simmons straight.
Yeah, good luck with that. Nobody's going to get him straight.
He's still like Sam Hinkie, so you can't be serious.
Dave, you've been with the Eagles for a long time. You've seen many different head coaching changes during your tenure with the Birds as the Eagles insider. You know, how does this relate? I mean, is it kind of like when Doug took over in 2016?
There's always new energy. When a new guy comes in, there's always new energy. So that's not different. I mean, we're in a different world right now, so this is extremely unusual. But Nick really does go out of his way to try to connect players in ways that are not traditional, whether it's the rock, paper, scissors, whether it's shooting basketball in the gym.
Ping pong.
In the auditorium, if it's cornhole in the weight room, whatever. And then competition just to create a bond among the players. But it's a different world now, because like when these guys played, you could practice more, and there was a way to create a culture that way. This is how nowadays you are on the practice field for what, like 75 minutes, and then you can do a walkthrough.
Oh God!
So you have to be creative in other ways to connect players, and I think Nick's done a great job of that. But let's give it time to breathe and see where it goes, see how it grows. And I mean, I was thrilled every time you have a new coach come in. You're replacing a coach who wasn't winning, so there's always going to be energy, and there's always going to be it's going to be done differently. So I remember so vividly when Andy Reid left, being in conversations with fans who, like, 3 months into Chip Kelly, they were like, this is better than the Andy Reid years. Like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
So, like, let's let it breathe a little bit here and see where it goes. I mean,
yeah, they must have been a big fan of smoothies.
Mm. Whatever.
Or the ice bucket challenge.
No, because it was just different. It was just something different. New kid on the block.
Yeah.
And I am so impressed with the way the team played on Sunday. And we'll see how they enjoy and how they thrive off of prosperity. How to handle prosperity. I think that's a huge key. I think that's a huge key for teams.
And what I'll say this. I was impressed with the kids on the offensive side of the football. Jalen Hurts. Man, if this kid can play, If he can legit play the way he played the other day, and it's not going to be every single week, 27 to 35 passing, 75% completion percentage, 264 yards, three touchdowns, only sacked once while losing 3 yards, 62 yards rushing on seven rushes. And then Miles Sanders, I mean, 15 rushes, 74 yards, 5 yards per carry. He had four catches. I don't believe that last year he had drops. I don't remember him dropping a ball the other day. Kenny Gainwell also looked good out of the backfield, got his first NFL touchdown. Devontae Smith, 6 receptions, 71 yards and a touch. Jalen Reagor, 6 receptions, 49 yards and a touch. Dallas Goedert, you know, 4 receptions, 42 yards, touchdown. Unbelievable with the weapons. This right here is an offense. I haven't seen weaponry like this since, you know, Zach Ertz's early years when you had Deshaun Jackson and Jeremy Maclin.
We did win a Super Bowl in 2017. and scored 41 points in the Super Bowl.
I understand that, Dave. I'm talking about legit weapons.
Alshon Jeffrey was a legit weapon that year. Nelson Aguilar was a legit weapon that year.
Yeah, legit weapon.
Jay Ajayi was a legit weapon that year. Zach Ertz was a legit. Come on.
It's a different. This is the first time you've seen him in a while being deployed this way and actually used instead of doing just the random stupid stuff.
You have a second wide receiver that actually, like Torrey Smith, played well at times. But
are we supposed to listen to you about offense because you pump up the Phillies and the Flyers?
No, it's nice to have first.
Too soon.
We're not eliminated yet.
It's nice to have first round pick wide receiver score touchdowns. You know what I'm saying, Dave?
Yeah, I'm super happy and complimentary of what this team did.
Right.
But I'm just saying, we tend to go from one extreme to another.
That's what we do. It's Philadelphia.
I'm just trying to be a voice of reason.
That's right.
That's all.
Absolutely. And the best thing about Devontae Smith, his touchdown, if anybody recognized it, he scored his touchdown in the same area that he won the national championship against Georgia. Yeah. Same stadium, the same area of the field. I don't know if they drew it up that way, if that was on purpose, but that was pretty cool.
Well, you know, and that was, I thought, one of the keys to the game, too, was the way that Sirianni and the Eagles' offensive coaching staff drew up plays to score. And I thought that was a big difference in the game. You see the way that the Falcons march the ball down the field. They get in the red zone. They stall. You know, they're not doing anything that's very clear to get into the end zone. But you look at the play that they ran for the first touchdown. It was a pick play or rub route.
Rub route. Yeah, they don't say pick play.
Well, I know.
It is a pick play.
I know.
But the big thing that Ertz did was he's got the understanding that, look, you don't need to pick the guy. You just want to get his attention. If he gets, you know, if he takes his eye off of the guy he's covering, that's all you need. And he didn't even touch him. He avoided him. So they can't throw. They couldn't throw a pick. They couldn't throw a penalty.
And what's great is
whereas the Falcons messed it up 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, twice. I was just about to say the same thing.
They don't understand what the play is. It's really a distraction. You don't need to pick the guy. You just need to distract him. Because once he looks at you, he's taking his eye off the guy he's covering, and you did your job.
And sometimes it's not that you distract the guy. You kind of run him off into the other guy that's covering your guy.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You don't have a lot of guys think you had to go and touch them. All you had to do is run the route that's put before you.
That's right.
And you don't have to do another thing after that.
Now, the other thing, real quick, is you look at the two of the other plays that scored touchdowns. One was, you know, the play where they ran the zone block, where they zone block on the nose, and then they did a great job of coming off on the linebacker.
It's called a rub double.
That's right. And you've got, you know, the kid goes into the end zone. Kenneth Gainwell goes into the end zone untouched. Now, obviously, they saw that. They knew they could run that route. So you got two guys going in untouched. And then you got on the other touchdown where they ran the quick screen, where they faked the run, the quick screen, and they executed it right. But they knew, it's like they knew those plays were going to be explosive for them. But that was great design, play design there. So you got to give the coaching staff a lot of credit there.
Absolutely. And Tank, real quick, before we go to another break here, I want you to talk about that hit that Brandon Graham put on Falcons running back Mike Davis, man. He just knocked it right out of him.
Well, you know, that was a play I think that we needed as a defense because they have been marching up to that point. And I actually, the funny thing is before I came here, I was rewatching the game, and I came to that play. And I actually sent it to BG. I actually taped it and sent it to him with my reaction to it. So it was a key play. And it was a key move in stopping them on that goal line.
All right. And before we go to break, we're going to acknowledge one of our sponsors here, Greater Philadelphia Health Action, GPHA, providing medical, dental, behavioral health, pharmacy, and child development services for over 50 years. Full family care for the entire family, prenatal, pediatrics, adults, specialty services, and more. COVID-19 vaccine and testing available. 11 locations throughout Philadelphia, over 85,000 patients. Telehealth and on-site appointments available. Schedule an appointment today. 1-888-296-GPHA. That's 4742. Website for more information on services and a complete listing of locations, www.gphainc.org. Coming up on the other side, we're going to get to know our guests just a little bit better. I'm going to turn it over to Diaz as we get to know G. Cobb and those couple years in Dallas. I'm sure we're going to be talking about those.
Where?
We are Bud Light Green Legion Radio on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back for another edition here of Bud Light Green Legion Radio here as we have our final segment here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We're going to get to know our buddy G. Cobb a little bit more coming up. But first, Dave Bavuso, State Farm, you deserve to get good service and great rates at State Farm. We get it. And we're here to help because with every State Farm policy, you get good neighbor service and you get surprisingly great rates. So what are you waiting for? Get going and talk to your local State Farm agent, Dave Bavuso, about your surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Bavuso State Farm Agency, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. I'm Chris Sack. I have Mike Diaz, Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, Eagles legend Hollis Tank Thomas, slash Sam, and G. Cobb. And right now, we're going to take the time to get to know our buddy just a little bit more. So Diaz, Diaz has some things lined up for you, G. So Diaz, take it away. Okay.
G. Cobb in the house. Gary, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it. So we're going to do like a little bio background. Listen, I've been watching you and listening to you for 25 years.
Creepy.
No. You know, watching on TV and everything like that. But so as I was taking a look at Gary Cobb's profile, he's got quite some interesting stories here. First off, born on March 16th, 1957. You are the number one person with that birthday. Number two is our basketball lord and savior, Joel Embiid. So you share a birthday with that. Graduated from Stanford.
He had to throw that
Joel
in
Embiid?
There.
No,
yeah, yeah, you and Joel Embiid. Same what? Birthday.
Oh, yeah?
You're number
yeah.
one in my book, G.
I'm going to tell him next time I see him.
You should. Yeah. Say, share the birthday. You graduated Stanford High. Was an All-American in both football and baseball.
Yeah, I played a lot of baseball. In fact, I played more baseball than I did football growing up. And all of the people that, you know, where I grew up at, they thought I was going to be a professional baseball player.
What
because,
position?
You know, if I got a hold of it, it was gone.
What position did you play?
I played outfield and, you know, I was like a center fielder, right fielder.
Yeah, normally know? The best athletes are shortstops yeah. or center fielders.
And really, when I went to college, I was supposed to go there and play baseball and football. But John McKay recruited me to USC, and he wanted me to play both because he was the athletic director as well as the head football coach. But then when he left, it became harder for me to play baseball because they were going, you got to be out here for football, you know, blah, 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 during the spring. And so that kind of messed up, you know, my I really kind of regret that because baseball was – you know, I was a good baseball player.
Yeah, I'll come right back to that. Talking about your time over at USC, three Rose Bowl victories, including a national championship in 1978. What was most interesting to me, your first 3 years at USC, if this is correct, you played linebacker, and in your senior year, moved to the defensive end and was an honorable mention all-conference at the end. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I was kind of playing. I mean, Really, I was playing the same position.
Okay, like a 3-4.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Okay,
right. They let us rush the passer more in my senior year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Now, you tell me if this is also true. Before moving on to the NFL, these notes said you were practicing baseball. You were offered a contract by the Angels and the Cubs before deciding to take your talents to the NFL.
Yeah, I thought about that a little bit, but they weren't talking about a lot of money, so.
Now, let me ask you something, G, because it's more guaranteed money in baseball nowadays.
So, like, I know now.
Right. So if circumstances were different and it was 2021 when G Cop had to make a choice, like, it probably come down more like you said that you love baseball. Would you say that you would have, like, the money was there with baseball, would you have made a different decision than what you made back then?
Maybe, especially if I'd have played more at USC. See, I didn't play a lot of baseball there because of the problems we had with them wanting me to go to spring ball and stuff. So that was really the problem. I don't know what I would have done, thinking about it. I probably would have done the same thing, though.
After USC, you were drafted by someone, hold house, Dallas Cowboys. Had a rough camp, I guess, but you didn't cut on Detroit for a couple years. Then
I played in Detroit for 6 years.
Yeah, then G-Cop came here to Philly in 1985. Fun fact.
Yeah.
Who was the trade?
Thank you for mentioning that.
Okay.
I, of course, know who it is. Nobody else here does? Wilbur Montgomery,
that's right.
Okay.
Well, Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, this is your life. You're supposed to know all these things.
Yes.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
interesting, though, in 1986, you were the Defensive Player of the Week. You set a then-team record, franchise record, 4 sacks versus the Atlanta Falcons.
You held that
for a number of years until, who was it?
Hugh Douglas.
I thought it was Simmons.
Clyde, and then Hugh. I think they both have 4.5.
4.5, yeah.
So you were with I have a question about this, because after your time here, you went back to Dallas. You played on that 1989 Dallas team, the 1-15 team right there, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that's where you wrapped it up.
Yeah, I was really stealing that year. My knee was bothering me, so I was really wasn't playing. But they say, if you play 10, you need to be at least be able to steal one. So that's what I got.
Good for you, man.
Hey, you
it's hard to get something off. It's hard to get something off the NFL.
Yeah,
congratulations.
That's, yeah.
Congratulations.
Then you talk about this post-NFL career. I know G-Cob. Everyone knows G-Cob as being on the TV, radio. We see him at the pre- and post-game shows on Fox 29. But some other – he's an author. Wrote a book entitled "Don't Be Clueless: 7 Keys to Life in the Real World," which you work with some of the youth.
Yeah, I always do that. In fact, I still go into the prisons and talk to, because they have so many young kids in there. Their biggest problem is they didn't have their parent, mainly their dad, in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of kids, can turn their life around if somebody's encouraging them, and they need some tough love. Somebody cares about them, but at the same time, you tell them, you got to make the right decision. And so, I'm able to do that because they will listen. Because they see me on TV, they know I played with the Eagles. They're going to listen for 20 minutes. You could get a kid started in the right direction. So that's one of the things that, I try to do.
That's awesome. I mean, to take time out of your, your own life to go and help other people that you might not know. That's awesome.
Well, I could take time out of your life, maybe.
I'm okay.
Please do.
In 2014, you were the Republican nominee for Congress here in New Jersey, the 1st District.
Yeah.
We don't need to get into specific points here, but a lot of us just these days argue one another and say what was walking away from that experience, running for college, what did you take away from actually stepping up and trying to participate in the process?
You make sure you have enough money to run before you. the thing was, you really, if I'd have done it, I probably would have taken more time and go around. But the money is one of the big things, and it is interesting. And I probably wouldn't do it the same way if I doing it again. Like I said, you got to make sure you got those dollars there.
What would you change?
What would I change?
Yeah, I came to a couple of your events to support you.
Well, the big. Oh, you mean about running or
yeah, just about running. About running in general.
Well, I would have went around the country and I would have made sure that I had the dollars really to make an impact before I would have ran.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you making an announcement for another run here on Green Legion Radio?
No.
last thing here,
I'm making an announcement to Hollis's.
You haven't mentioned it yet, but you run your own website, gcobb.com, and I was checking out your latest post. You questioned whether Fletcher Cox was giving his best effort versus the Falcons on Sunday. So I'm not challenging you, but what did you see, or where did you come away from that with that perspective?
You know, what Fletcher's in a situation where he gets double-teamed all the time. Okay. I mean, they were double-teaming him all the time. But what he should try to do, I think, you know, and the coaches have talked to him about maybe attacking one of the guys. You know,
you always attack one of the guys.
And, you know, attack one guy and...
You know how
to
beat double-teams?
What's that?
You know how to beat double-teams? Attack one of the guys.
That's right. So
you find the chump and attack him.
So he is, you know, I mean, he's... When he wants to, you can see he could just tear one guy's head off, you know.
But
it's tough, though.
Now, I'm going to get away from that a little bit. They don't know that you had your own slight variety show. I didn't hear anything about that.
I did not see that.
He had his own show. I was on his show. He had his own on TV like, thing, old studio.
And you know one of the first guys I had on?
Who?
Stephen A. Smith.
Ah, God.
Screaming A?
Yeah. It was kind of...
Well, and Sal.
Yeah. See, I'm telling you, back in the day.
Yeah, they were just over there, and that was their first, you know, start in TV, and you know they've done quite well.
I remember, I would say that you're when I disliked you the most.
Wow.
It was
what?
Whoa. This is funny though. As an Eagle employee, you know, as an Eagle guy, when you had Richie Coach on, you were doing the whole Richie Boo thing. Oh man,
that's Angelo.
Yeah, but you were leading that charge too.
No, I did it as a joke, and then Angelo just took it, and you know.
Yeah, that sounds.
Then I had to keep doing it.
That sounds about right. That's show business.
And we got to get out of here and pay some bills, apparently.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to take it to break here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler with Green Legion Radio, Bud Light Green Legion Radio, the Players Show. And it was great to get to know a little bit more about G Cobb, so thank you, G, for letting us have that segment with you. All right, coming up in our next hour, we're going to touch base on the 49ers game coming up this Sunday. As well, we're going to do some kick-ass or jackass, and we might do a little bit around the league. Coming right up on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, we are Bud Light Green Legion Radio, live at Crab du Jour in Delran, New Jersey. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Fox Sports 1480 AM, 102.5 FM, The Gambler. In Philly, there's a group that brings diehard sports fans together as one big family through tailgate and road trips. Now the guys from Green Legion are bringing the tailgate to the airwaves. Quimby, Hollis Tank Thomas, Michael Diaz, and Chris Sack always keep the party going, so crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
Where's the gambler? Oh, man, I'm getting into a reverb in my head.
It's disco tank time, we got disco tank. Yeah.
We are live at the Crab du Jour in Delran, New Jersey. Yes, absolutely. The food is phenomenal. Spectacular. I can't wait until the show's over so I can eat.
Mm.
Did I just say that out loud?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am Chris Sack, sitting alongside my esteemed panel here. Hollis Tank Thomas.
That's disco tank.
G-Cobb, Eagles insider Dave Spadaro. Michael Shut Up Diaz. Slash and Super Sam. And if you need to get a calendar signed, make sure you come over here and meet the lovely Chrissy. And then we have Sexy Rexy in the house as well, holding it down as our security for Green Legion. But we are also brought to you by, alongside with Bud Light, we are brought to you by MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. Make sure you guys go to mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. And also, download the app for TwinSpires. You deposit $10 and you get $250 of free play by putting in the code LEGION10. That's available to all new customers. So make sure you guys get that free play right away. $10 on any NFL game. Gentlemen, we had a great first hour. We had a lot of fun talking about the absolute handling of the Atlanta Falcons, but we have another game that we need to turn our attention to, and Dave is grabbing my attention.
So everybody who's ever listened to the show understands that Hollis and I go back and forth a lot on
Wait
that.
Wait a minute. Hold on, man. I was going to do this on my own. Yes, I wanted to talk about the run game.
Oh, the run game. I thought it was going to be linebackers, but run game. No, but
more specifically, the run-pass ratio at halftime.
Uh-oh.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Do you have numbers?
24 passes for Jalen Hurts in the first half. 10 runs for the Eagles. 4 of them, Jalen Hurts runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, run. Did you notice? You pass early and you run late.
Did you notice those passes were screenplays, which were behind the line of scrimmage?
They're passes,
which you use as runs and tosses. Now, you can say what you want, but when the dust settles, when we were trying to take the air out of the ball, what did we do?
We ran the ball. That's
exactly.
What
you do. That's what I'm saying.
And by the way, we ran the ball nowhere, just eating up the clock. The Falcons were run blitzing the whole time. They crushed.
And the other part of that was we kept them off balance because they didn't know whether we were going to run or pass.
Man, you're starting to get Disco Tank worked up.
I'm just saying.
I'm telling you, that's why we're doing it.
I don't mind if we pass, but we have to run to keep them. I liked it because the plays were mixed up enough to where we kept the opposing defense off balance.
They should
not know every time that we line up that we're about to throw the damn ball.
So
in that first half,
I don't give a damn.
Hurts ran 4 times, right? I don't know if there was a design run in that. I don't remember if there was a design run, but let's say there were 2 design runs. That means that there were 8 called runs, and there were 26 passes.
So the defense knew the Eagles were throwing the ball. Should I tell you what I do know? Some of those passes were run. If the box dictates that we pass the ball, we were passing the ball.
How about you know?
I think they were letting Jalen call a lot of that.
Well, at the line of scrimmage. That's what I was trying to tell Dave. I love Dave and I love his insight and stuff. But sometimes you have to be a player to know.
Here we go.
Off the rip, I can tell.
He's not talking about a football player, though.
That's a player.
But you can tell off the rip that it was a runs call because the offensive line, they were run blocking. And when you run block, they just chose the screen because there was too many guys in the box to run against. And I'm all for that.
If the Eagles had scored like three points in the first half, Hollis would have been like, they didn't run the ball enough.
No, I wouldn't have.
Guys, I'm all for Spuds versus Tank. We have the rest of the second hour here on our show to get into that. Diaz had something that he wanted to chime in for.
They don't start swinging though. I'm not dumb.
I want Diaz to put his point in, and then gentlemen, we have another football game we have to talk about. We have Eagles Niners this weekend.
You know that I'm on. You know, you got it's a passing league. You got to pass the league. But Dave, I mean, the one thing that jumped out with these passes is this. You know, the average depth of target that, I mean, 3.5 yards was his average depth of target, air yards. Like that. Hey,
still
like,
a pass.
What Hollis said, that those passes were really runs. You got to give him some credit for that.
Wait, no, I'm not giving him any credit for that. The Atlanta Falcons came out and they ran the ball really well, right? Mm-hmm. What did they do? They scored 6 points.
But they ran the ball really well.
But they couldn't
pass because we were not giving up over the top stuff. It doesn't have to be over the top stuff.
It's catch and runs.
That's where the NFL is. It's not because if you have an offense like theirs, then once they get down, they give you all the plays that they're going to give you. They can trick you, and now they're at wits' ends, so they're kicking field goals.
The Eagles didn't have a passing play of longer than what was it like 19 yards?
It didn't have to be
one throw down the field, and they scored 32 points, but they threw the ball a lot.
But that's what they were giving them.
Man, you guys are lucky. Quimby's not here right now. He'd be sitting there, come on,
moving on.
He can do this for the rest of the hour.
I'm all about it, but if you guys are going to argue, let's not argue about the past. Let's argue about the future. Let's argue about Sunday, okay?
Okay.
The San Francisco 49ers are also 1-0. They're coming off a 41-33 win at the Detroit Lions. Mm. They're starting off the season with 2 road games. Almost blew a 28-point lead at the end of the game. Jimmy Garoppolo returns as the starting quarterback this season after an injury-plagued 2020 season. And the Niners traded up to the 3rd pick of the draft this past draft in 2021 to take North Dakota State quarterback Trey Lance as the quarterback of their future, both threw touchdown passes against the Lions. Plus, they lost their number one running back, Raheem Mostert. Guys, what are the matchups that we're keying on this weekend? What are we looking forward to? Tank, we'll start with you.
Now, who threw the first touchdown pass in that game?
Trey Lance. 5-yard touchdown pass, yes. I had money on that game. Thank you, Aaron Rodgers, for blowing my ticket on Sunday.
But the one thing in my study of this game is last year they gave up 39 sacks. And they're decent. They're really good run blockers, but they kind of suck against the pass. I think that's why they got a more athletic quarterback in the draft, because Garoppolo is a sitting duck. And if you look at what they're going to do, I think they're going to come in here with some trick plays and stuff, and they're going to run the Trey Lance crap and stuff. But their offensive line, they're kind of nasty and dirty, so they're kind of like more of a run people. But the play action pass gets you a lot, especially with Kittle. So I mean, and they have a formidable defensive front as well, who's they predicated with putting pressure on the passer. They have like 78 tackles for loss, so they're about disruption though.
Okay, G, what do you have for me this weekend?
Well, you know, I think they do a great job of utilizing different formations. They really do a great job of using motion. And what the motion does is it gets in the eyes of the linebackers and the defensive front, to where they'll be going one way, and a lot of times, you know, they will do things where they utilize you and get you going the wrong way, and then they counter back. And they really do a great job with the counter plays of getting you going one way, and then having you handing the ball off, and they're going the other way. So, you know, Kyle Shanahan does a great job with his run design, and they hit you, boy, and when it hits you, it's like it's such a the quickness with he's in the hole and he's downfield, and they do a great job, and they got a good offensive line, especially when it comes to, you know, run blocking.
Yeah,
so they are going to run the ball on the Eagles, especially once they look at the tape and they see the success Atlanta had early in the game. You better believe they're confident they can run the ball. Now the whole thing is, you know, the Eagles probably will give up some yardage on the ground. But the big thing is, you know, what do they do? If they make sure that they control Garoppolo and they don't give up those big plays, because a lot of times what they do is they will get that running game going, and then they really make you hurt because they make the big play with the throw. See, and they attack you downfield.
Now, Jay, being the son of former Broncos head coach Mike Shanahan, do you see a lot of the zone offensive line schemes that they used to run back in the day in the glory days of the Denver Broncos? Like, is it the same scheme? Because it seems like they always seem to be able to, like, Elijah Mitchell came in, rushed the ball for 19 times for 104 yards and a touchdown. Is it the same scheme that he's utilizing?
Well, the great thing they do is they adjust to whatever defense you're in. If they're going to run, you know, the zone, inside zone,
that's my
outside
pipe bomb
zone,
right there.
Right.
You know, they will run the inside zone, outside zone, regardless of what you're in. They're going to adjust and run that play.
Correct.
And they do a great job of making adjustments. You know, just before the play, the linemen know what they're going to do. If you got a certain look, so they do a great job of that. But they're really running the same call. But they make the adjustments depending on what you line up in.
The front.
Yeah.
And so I'll try to, like, I'd like to have a conversation with Gary and Hollis. They play the game, obviously.
They know more than you,
right,
Dave, yeah.
Thanks for that back
at the
compliment.
But, like, to break it down for people who are listening, so the way that they're running back, the reason that Raheem Mostert is not a huge loss is because the way their running back system works is, it's called a guy who puts his foot in the ground and goes north-south.
What's
as
that?
Opposed to, like, what Miles Sanders can do, he can put his foot down and go north-south, but he can also go east-west and try to create. Their guys really don't create, so they're kind of easy to find.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So basically what they're doing is they're spreading you out, and the running back is running sideways until he sees the gap,
yeah,
and then he puts his foot in the ground, and then he shoots through the gap.
That's right, and see, When you get these big guys going sideways, you know, a lot of times they're easier to block. They're easier to get some movement on. If you're running right at the guy and you got a guy like, let's say, like Fletcher, you know, it's very difficult to ask a guy, look, move this guy off the ball. Just blow him up. So what they'll try to do is they get you moving, and then they want to be pushing you.
Off
and
balance,
then they let the back, he's looking for the hole. And he's going to plant, and he's going north and south, you know, once he sees a gap. And so, basically, they go on the basic premise that,
you know what I
mean, when you get people going sideways, one guy's going to go a little faster, you know, than the other, and you kind of get a natural separation.
Let me clear this up for you.
That's a natural separation right there on the television.
let me clear
seven run deficit. Thank you, J.D. Hammer.
Let me clear this up for you. So both of you guys are close to being right.
Once you clean it up, get it over to Diaz.
Okay. So basically what they do is they try to get you on a bit of a parade running sideways. They want you to run sideways because they want one of the adjacent guys to push you, so creating a seam.
Yeah.
And when creating that seam, like you said, one of the guys is going to get out of his gap, and the key is to stay in your gap and stay front side. If you don't, and then you got to have the.
Which is very difficult.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult, but you have to be disciplined. It's not hard. It's difficult, but it's not hard. If you're disciplined and you got a good defense, and they know the premise of their run, and you shut it down. Because I played against his against his offense a bunch of times, and the key is every defensive lineman stand on their feet to the front side gap.
That's right.
And then not going for the okie doke. A lot of people.
A lot of defensive linemen. How do they get paid? They get paid by getting
sacks
to the quarterback.
Yeah.
So a lot of the defensive linemen will cheat.
And so that's what we call selfish players.
There are a lot of people not being team players.
And yet you had to do this as a team. The run is stopped as a team.
We do need to do this as a team. That's why Diaz is going to talk now. Yeah. Diaz,
I'm happy that we're having this conversation. That we're going to have some issues with the run defense, because as we know, you got to pass the ball to score in this game. So they'll give a ton on the ground. That's fine. They're going to score field goals. You got to pass it, and we've got the front seven there that's going to give them pressure, and then we have nothing to worry about, because they're not going to score points because you score points by passing the ball.
They've got some big play receivers too.
Exactly. And if you get behind and you can't stop the run, the other team will have the ball and the game will be over.
See, my biggest worry with this game is the tight end, George Kittle.
Oh, God.
Had a pedestrian week last week for George Kittle. 4 receptions, 78 yards, a fumble lost. But last year, when we played them, and listen,
ugh, it's terrible.
We can owe that W to the hardness that was Nick Mullins, who couldn't even make out
of what?
Nick Mullins.
No, but what was he?
Hardness. He was horrible.
Okay.
Look it up. It's in the
hardness.
Yeah, that dictionary. Yes.
Is that hardness?
Hardness.
Okay.
Hardness.
Hardness.
Double R's. Okay.
Yes. Double R's. There we go.
We got you.
How about just saying terrible?
See, that's an educated man right there. But he gashed us last season. 15 receptions, 183 yards, and a touchdown. Gee, as a former linebacker,
on 15 targets, by the way. 15 for 15.
Right.
Yes.
Gee, as a former linebacker, what's the best way to try and take a tight end like Kittle out of the game?
Well, I always like to have to play him where I'm the linebacker and I got to cover him. I line up on him. So, because that way you can get your hands on him, you know, on the tight end. But they don't normally do that anymore. They have the linebacker lined up in different places. So it's very difficult to stop him, because that running game, you know, like we were talking, once they show run, you got everybody thinking run.
And then he can move off that block.
And then he's gone. You're going like, where is he at? We were trying to get off the block to make a tackle. And, you know, he's just giving us the look of a block, and then he separates. It's very difficult to stop.
But gee, this is what I have seen with the new defense is they're lining the linebackers up and trying to bang the tight ends a little bit now.
Yeah.
And that's what I've seen. That is like we're running some under fronts, which means
that's right.
The linebackers on the line of scrimmage. So we're doing some stuff to I think we're going to do some stuff to take away the tight end and to take away what he does. But the one thing that I did see in the past game that I hope doesn't raise your ugly head in this game is the ability to line up properly. And when I say properly, it's like, well, you know, your coverage is way out there. What, don't line up on the inside half of the furthest offensive lineman. It was a couple of times I've seen that, and they got us on an easy 5 yard out. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to kick it to Sacco over there, so we can go pay some bills.
Sounds great. Yes, because Bud Light Green Legion Radio is brought to you by the Green Legion. Want to spend the weekend at Caesar's Palace when the Eagles play the Raiders? Want to spend an awesome weekend at Lodo in Denver, Colorado? Want to spend a weekend in Arlington going to Six Flags over Texas and Hurricane Harbor Water Park and headquarters at Texas Live, sister property to our friends over at Xfinity Live? Travel with the Green Legion for all Eagles road trips. Go to greenlegion.com or contact the office at 215-666-5940, or I'll give you Quimby's personal number right now. No, I enjoy my job here at Green Legion Radio, and I do not want to be fired, so I will not give you Quimby's number. But we're going to head to break right now on on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, Green Legion, Bud Light Green Legion Radio, right here live at the Crab du Jour in Delran, New Jersey. We'll be right back right after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Ah, the cult of personality. CM Punk's theme song here on Bud Light Green Legion Radio. Jansen, I got to give you credit, my man. That's a great way to bring us back in here. Live from the Crab du Jour in Delran, New Jersey. At the Crab, at Crab du Jour, seafood boil restaurant with close to 100 locations and growing. Your neighborhood's favorite seafood restaurant. Mouth-watering, delicious seafood for great value, honesty, and quality. An inclusive dining experience for all ages. And soon, in a few weeks, we will be live at the Finn, right over there, right next to the Fillmore, right? Where you can get immersed in a nautical-themed, high-quality restaurant and bar that you surely won't forget. Amazing classic and bespoke cocktails, authentic Philadelphian take on surf and turf dishes that will leave you wanting more, and a 25-foot 4K HD TV for all your sports pleasures and needs. When you will not be watching the Phillies, you'll be enjoying actual playoff baseball with worthy playoff baseball team.
And whatever do you mean?
Listen, if everybody is listening to us right now, which they are, they know. You guys heard me in the last segment when I turned and I'm like, "We're down 7-0. Are you kidding me? Oh God, this team is awful." But we're here to talk football. I want to continue to talk football. And listen, I want to wrap up on the Niners and Eagles because I want to have a little bit of fun with some around the league stuff before our last segment when we have Kaja, kick-ass Jackass.
Nice.
Home Kaja's opener, the best. 49er version. Yes, oh, okay. What do you got, Tank?
I had something real quick. During the break, we were speaking about the run game and the difficulty in stopping it.
I'm not surprised.
And the difficulty in stopping it, and it'll be a test to this coaching staff if they can get the guys to buy into disciplined football to stop the run game and to make them one dimensional. If they're able to buy into the discipline to stop this run game, then we should win this game.
Absolutely. And real quick, I want to look at the defensive side of the football for the 49ers. They get back this season. Nick Bosa and Dee Ford, both last year, I think it was the same game. They tore ACLs in the same game last season. Their top two pass rushers are back. Fred Warner is a really good, really good linebacker that they have on that side of the ball. They lost their number one cornerback. He tore his ACL.
Yeah, he tore it. So they pick up Drake
Jason Verrett. Yes, and the secondary is very susceptible the 49ers.
They picked up Drake Kirkpatrick.
They did. Okay.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
All right, so on the defensive side of the football.
Who cares?
He can't play.
He can cover. There's a reason he was out there.
Exactly.
That's right.
If you're a good quarterback, even a decent quarterback, you're already on a team.
Yeah, so, Tank, real quick, because I want your guys' opinions on some of the stuff that happened around the league in the NFL this past weekend in Week 1. Tank, what's the challenge look like this weekend for Jordan Mailata going up against Nick Bosa?
That's a real good challenge because Bosa can run around you and he can kind of run you over too, but I think Jordan is kind of going to swallow him up because he doesn't do well against the bigger tackles that I've seen and the ones who are not big pudding style tackles. So I mean he's
whatever do you mean?
But I don't think
G knows about big pudding.
And it's
okay. He can probably guess
big pudding number 77.
Yeah.
he does know. He know what a pudding is.
Actually, you could probably counsel him.
The thing about that defensive line is they send him in a bit of waves, so it kind of doesn't matter. I think we forgot to mention Armstead. If you got to mention him as well,
absolutely. Go ahead.
Those guys are pretty good in causing havoc in the backfield. But the linebacker core, which I wasn't delegated to talk about, they're the ones that actually make this go and make these guys be able to do anything and everything they want to do up front.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. So we touched on the Niners, and we're going to get more into that. So make sure you guys tune in to the pregame show, our pregame show, Green Legion pregame show, from 10 to 11 on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler on Sunday morning. So we're going to have it all broken down for you on Sunday morning. But I want to touch on some of the around the league stuff this past weekend. And I have some topics here, and okay, I kind of want to get your guys' opinions. Now, and I'm not going to go across the board with each one.
Okay.
So, Diaz, I'm going to start you out with number one, Tankathon.
Tankathon.
As far as where we are currently at right now after Carson Wentz, the Carson Wentz watch, in regards to where we stand with that potential Colts first-round pick and needing to play a requisite number of snaps this season.
I got my notes right here. Now, thankfully, for you, Hollis, I know that you're big on the draft picks. You like future first-rounders.
Oh, God.
There's a potential that the Eagles will have three first-rounders next year. So, you know, from time to time, we're going to check in here, see what we're doing. As of week one, the Eagles would end up with three first-rounders in the 2022 draft. They would draft in their own position at 24th, from Miami at 20th, and also... listed at 8th right now, the pick from Indianapolis, because Wentz has played 100% of the offensive snaps. So right there, there's five teams tied between 5 and 9. So that's where they'd fall today. So that's a nice little position.
Absolutely,
Jalen Hurts works out. We can use that to draft cornerbacks, linebackers, more offensive and defensive linemen.
Maybe a nice safety, huh?
Yeah, or a point guard that can shoot.
This is going to be this type of stuff. The Carson Wentz watch is going to be exclusively Diaz's baby this season. I'm going to let him run rampant.
I love
with
it.
I'm going to let him run rampant with it, because if anybody knows how to tank, it's Diaz. 4 years of that with your Philadelphia 76ers.
It's 7-0 in the bottom of the third.
This isn't tanking. This is just awfulness.
Okay. All right. There is a big difference.
Remember, this is Green Legion Radio. You guys fight on your own time.
But we do that on our own program.
Yes.
So, all right. Dave, I'm going to move to the next one. On to you. The Green Bay Packers getting thrashed by the New Orleans Saints 38-3. Unbelievable outcome. We weren't expecting that.
Yeah, and drama matters. I mean, the whole Aaron Rodgers soap opera, these things have to have an effect. When you're not in training camp, when you're not with your team, it drags you down. So, I mean, I believe they'll whip up on Detroit on Monday night, but if they don't, I mean, Jordan Love?
He got some snaps towards the end of that game the other day.
Like, I just don't like the way Aaron Rodgers is, like, the greased back hair right now. I don't get it.
Like, me neither.
He looks like someone out of a Coen Brothers movie.
Exactly.
Looks like Hobo Slim.
Listen, normally you have to point the finger at one thing and one thing only, and that's his fiance, Shailene Woodley.
They're married now,
I think. Are they married? Because we didn't even know they were engaged last year. So,
nobody cares.
I know. This is soap opera talk here on Bud Light Green Legion Radio. So, moving on to the next topic. Gee, this one's for you. Arizona's Chandler Jones. 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles that led to 14 Cardinals points and a 38-13 beatdown of the Titans.
I mean, I tell you, I was shocked because the Titans were the team everybody was talking about, you know.
Especially adding Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was just beating. I mean, he was getting off on the snap of the ball. I mean, he was explosive. And it's just, it's like Ryan, he's standing there and, you know, he's not acknowledging. And they really didn't acknowledge, look, this guy can't block him. Okay.
Help.
At some point, you have to get the point where the guy's not blocking him. You got to get help.
Who was it? Taylor Lewin? Who was
Taylor
Lewin?
Yeah.
Lewin coming off the injury, right? Coming off the injury.
I mean, he was getting off on the snap, and he was staying low, and he was exploding out of his stance.
That's a Winston Justice kind of game.
I know. Yeah, that was.
Ooh, that was like 8, though.
That's what you call turnstile.
It was actually like our game too, because I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, the left guard was killed.
Number 77, the pigeon that went down.
Yeah.
I told you guys about.
Yeah, but they moved him over like right before the game, right?
It was during the week, and
the week because somebody was hurt.
And then the funny thing,
Josh Andrews.
And then the funny thing about that is, if you were down in Atlanta with me, I watched the media later on. He was like, "I got to do better." Hell yeah, you got to do better. You was a turnstile,
third round pick, rookie in his first game, and he got
Did he get paid? Did he go pick up his check on Monday? Okay, next subject.
All right, next subject.
Yeah, he went over his head.
This one's for you, Tank, because this one is a lot of fun for me. I can't stand this guy. Urban Meyer gets destroyed by the Texans, and rumors are already swirling about him wanting out of Jacksonville. Do you believe he's on his way to USC after he fakes more or chest pains to get out of coaching the Jaguars?
Damn, Skippy. Dude, I've seen this happen before. And we just saw it happen with Atlanta. And what's the coach's name?
Well, remember Bobby Petrino?
Bobby Petrino.
He got on that jet, yeah. and then he went to Arkansas.
No, you forget. You forget. And I had this happen personally when I was with the Saints. So Ed Orgeron was our defensive line coach.
No way.
Lane Kiffin, who's his buddy, gets one of the head coaching jobs. They say, you guys don't have to worry about nothing. I'm gonna be here with you guys for the rest of my contract. Then later on that night on ESPN, you saw him in Tennessee as a defense coordinator and the recruiting coordinator with Lane Kiffin. I was cracking up. I was like, you can't trust the coach for us. You can throw him.
Yeah, maybe.
It's not personal, just business.
I know. But the Bobby Petrino one was horrible. He left a letter to every a typed up letter that he didn't even. He signed one of them, and they put it in each one of the players' lockers for the Falcons. He's like, you guys don't worry about nothing. I'll be here.
Well, and you know, I
next time you know,
that,
he was talking about Suey.
I heard that some of the alumni out there, USC, you know, there's some.
Yeah, speaking of national champion Gary Cobb over here in 1978, he's got some info.
Big money out there. They basically going to hand the dude a check and say, well, you fill it out.
You fill it out.
But they are going to get somebody this big name because, you know, they're used to getting what they want.
What names are being thrown around, Jake?
Urban Meyer.
Yeah. Meyer, well, you know, they're meddling with some of the people, you know, that have got jobs, yeah. You know. So
they don't care though. They got those pockets. They want to see the team win. They haven't been bad. They've been, I don't want to say irrelevant, but they haven't been living up to what their standards.
That's right.
But the thing is they don't care about that. See, what they don't care about is the buyout. Because if you get somebody who's already got a job, you have to buy them out of the contract that they're in.
That's right.
And so they don't care about the buyout. No. And so they're going to see whoever the hell they
are. I know a Super Bowl coach, Super Bowl winning coach, who's not employed right now.
Who's that?
Doug Peterson.
Hey, I thought he said he was chilling this year.
Well, they're not hiring him now.
Okay.
He's just collecting. He's collecting a bunch of garb. You know, he went to visit the Colts. He visits the Bears.
You gotta want to do all that
college
recruiting.
That's the problem. Recruiting 17-year-old kids who think they own the world.
Yeah. Well, who
know they're going to get paid in college.
That's right.
That must be awful.
Well, going to people.
I mean, recruiting them is awful.
Recruiting is awful. Mainly.
Cam Newton got paid.
Well, recruiting is awful mainly because the coach comes in and lies to your parents, talking about he's going to make you into a good man.
I'm afraid Doug Peterson's going to go to the Giants next year.
Oh, really?
I'm afraid.
Pat Shermer was at the Giants too.
I don't know. I mean, I got no info. I'm just, it's a...
Pat Shermer was at the Giants, too.
Yeah, of course you have no info. You have no sources. you're talking out the other side. That's fair.
this segment just became awkward.
Well, eventually we are going to get the kick-ass or jackass. Right now we're talking about where Diaz is actually talking out of. So. another story from this past Sunday. Okay. Matthew Stafford looked awesome in his Rams debut on Sunday Night Football against the Bears. You know, man, all those years in Detroit, and he finally escaped. I mean, gee, you know what it's like to finally escape Detroit. But as a franchise quarterback that Matthew Stafford is, it has to be a weight lifted off his shoulders to go to a team with a head coach like Sean McVay that's going to groom him. I mean, the weapons that they have there are just supremely vast.
Are you kidding me? Well, he's got a defense now.
Well, no.
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. He has that, but it really sucks that Cam Akers got hurt because that team really
would have done some
damage. I mean, they're going to do damage this year, but Cam Akers and that running game, that would have been something that he never had.
Well, you know, the combination of having that running game and with Stafford's ability to throw the ball downfield, that's what they've been wanting. And we'll see how things work out if they're able to live up to all the billing. But that's going to be a lot of pressure on them, you know.
It's Super Bowl or bust for them.
You know, you go into a season where it's win it all or else. A lot of times, you know, the pressure will mount on them as the season goes along. So, you know, they got off to a good start, but we'll see whether
they got a tough division, too. Yeah.
That is
a tough division.
Yes, everybody's 1-0 in that division. So the thing with him is, though, he's going out there, and it's going to be one of those things where he needs to win the Super Bowl because they've already went to the Super Bowl with almost the exact same team, but with Jared Goff.
And they have no draft picks.
Exactly.
They've traded everything for this window right now. And
that's right.
They're off to a great start. That division is, it's amazing when you think about the NFC East and the NFC West.
What are you talking about? The Birds are going to the Super Bowl this year.
I know that, but the quality of the division and how different the divisions are.
Wow.
How about the Sixers get out of the second round? You don't say anything to that. How about that, D.S.?
Another show.
How about that, D.S.?
Real quick before we wrap up this segment, was anybody impressed with anything else that happened in the NFC East this weekend over the last week? I know the Giants got thumped. I mean, look, the football team got thumped.
But it's certainly the whole complexion of the division changes in a week, and that's the way this season's going to be. It's 17 games.
Yep.
There's been, again, no repeat winner in the NFC East since 2003, 2004.
I don't know those teams.
I will say, Dak Prescott, he did look good coming off the surgery.
Yeah, next Monday night, that's going to be for first place.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Probably will be. Yep.
Yeah, you throw 52 times, you'll
be good. Do you think that the Cowboys beat the Chargers?
No.
I don't think so.
I think that they will.
Not in your wildest fantasy.
It's going to be a Dallas home game in L.A. Chargers don't have any beef.
Yeah, nobody
Although
cares.
It was surprising how many Chargers... They must have been NFL plants. You looked at D.C. on Sunday. There was so much powder blue in the stands. I was surprised.
You get a stud quarterback. All of a sudden, your fans are everywhere.
Did you guys see it become Dallas fans, Dave?
Did you guys see the supreme irony of the sewage pipe busting at FedEx Field?
Oh, God.
I mean, like, I say it all the time. That is the biggest I've ever been to, and it just went up another notch.
And that's why Daniel Snyder wants another stadium. He wants it downtown D.C.
And that's why
he's going to get it, because a pipe burst.
That's why with the Green Legion this January.
January 2nd, all birthday.
All club seats.
All right, before we go to break, another one of our sponsors, Bucks County Baseball Company, is the premier vintage sports clothing and collectibles retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com. Or stop by their Bristol, PA location. Items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much, much more. Again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge. The website, even bigger. Bucks County Baseball Company, the name in Philly for vintage sports. Coming up in our last segment here on Green Legion Radio, here Bud Light Green Legion Radio on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler in Delran, New Jersey at the Crab du Jour. We're doing Kick-Ass or Jackass. And, G, you're going to love this one. Home opener, 49ers edition. Stay tuned right here on the other side. 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
All right, welcome back to the last segment here on the Player Show for Bud Light Green Legion Radio, live from the Crab du Jour in Delran, New Jersey, right off of Route 130 North. Thank you guys for coming out. It's another great show and a lot of fun. And G. Cobb for stopping by and hanging out with us tonight. Right now, we're going to dive into Kick-Ass or Jackass. This is the home opener / 49ers edition. So we have some from home openers past, which are layups, because G doesn't know how this works. I think I heard Spuds over there telling him during the break of...
And Hollis.
I let him know.
And what we do with this, okay? So if you like it, it's Kick-Ass. If you don't like it, it's Jackass. Okay.
You don't have to give a dissertation. We already explained it to him.
Well, I'm just putting it out there for those who haven't listened before.
Who hasn't listened before?
Look, we have new listeners, man. That's what you're trying to build it up.
Yes,
Hollis. Come on, Tank. All right, I'm going to start out with some layups here, okay? I'm going to start with Diaz and work our way down. Kick-Ass or Jackass, Jake Elliott's 61-yard game-winning field goal against the Giants in 2017.
You think this is a layup?
I said layups.
I'm going to say Jackass for me because I was watching it from the tunnel because I thought they were going to go into overtime.
You left early?
I didn't leave early. I watched from the tunnel. I was going to go to the bathroom before overtime started.
Oh, I got you. Okay,
wow. Fair.
Jackass so, on
you,
me,
you
though.
You were in the fair. John. Admit fair. It. You were in the John.
No, I was in the tunnel.
Fair. It was a Kick-Ass for me. Totally.
Yeah, that was definitely Kick-Ass. Yeah.
It was just quite a tender Kick-Ass.
You know, Diaz isn't alone in the fact of, like, going to the bathroom.
Kick-Ass or Jackass, man?
No, I'm going to say it's Kick-Ass for sure. But my buddy Pat, when DeSean Jackson ran back the punt against the Giants.
Oh, boy.
We were at a local establishment. They're not a sponsor, so I'm not going to say who they are. But he's like, all right, I'm going to get ready for overtime. So he goes to the bathroom, and while DeSean Jackson is running the punt back, and the whole restaurant is going crazy. Bar and restaurants go crazy. He's standing at the urinal. So to this day, we always make fun of him for it.
I thought you were going to say he walked out with a toilet paper in his hand.
That's not what we, that's not what we walked out with in his hand. It was not toilet paper.
All right, number two, Deja Vu. Julio Jones and Matt Ryan don't connect yet again to add in banner night in 2018, like the divisional round playoff game 8 months earlier.
For the game, kick ass. Jackass, God, why did you have this rain delay? We had to wait. It was like an 8:30 game. It didn't even start for
I was
going to
elaborate on that, too.
Are you blaming
delay.
God?
Yeah, blaming God. Jackass. Okay.
Okay. We're blaming God for the fact that Diaz is on this show.
There you go.
Oh, God. I'm going kick ass. Super Bowl.
Yeah, without a doubt. Come on. That's kick ass.
I'm right there with him with the lightning storm. What do you got, Hollis?
Kick ass. Super Bowl.
Absolutely. 100%. Three touchdown catches. This is the last cupcake, guys. All right, because I don't really want to elaborate on any, like, you know, bad home openers. Okay, I know Dave's been at a lot of them, and we've had some clunkers. Three touchdown catches by T.O. in the 2004 home opener against the Giants.
Kick ass. That was the best.
And he was caught in traffic on the way to the game. Made the story even better. That's back when we liked T.O. Total kick ass, but a jackass of a guy.
Wow.
Personally.
I'm not a T.O. guy.
Well, neither is Quimby anymore after he stiffed him on the Dominican Republic.
Of course he stiffed him. Of course he stiffed him.
And Javon Curse.
Yeah, that's something I need to think about. You know,
again,
like,
I'm talking out loud.
T.O. like that, you know, with the,
those
the
kick
three
ass.
Touchdown. Come on, that was...
Kick ass.
I mean, finally, you know, they had, you know, big time
a number
wide
one.
Receiver. Yep.
Yeah, they
got done. That was kick ass.
That was kick ass. They finally had a number one receiver. I was helping you out. I was helping you out get through the moment.
When he stood on the ball and he flapped the wings in front of the crowd, that was awesome. All right, now, let's get in some 49ers ones here.
Okay?
Taking a time management class with Kyle Shanahan, which we used to say this about Andy Reid before Pat Mahomes came into his life. Man, these
great coaches that can't manage the clock, it's crazy.
I mean, the guy has folded in two Super Bowls.
Yeah. I'm going to say jackass. I'm going to say anything related to Kyle Shanahan this week is jackass.
Yeah, jackass. I'm down on him.
Who's that?
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan.
Because he's blown leads.
Yeah, he's blown leads.
28-3.
You know,
fourth quarter lead against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Yeah, but you know, I look at that go route where the receiver was open and Garoppolo just missed him.
Interesting.
He doesn't throw the ball, so
yeah, interesting. Interesting.
I think he's still a good coach, so I'm going to say kick ass.
I'm going to say jackass because he's blown two leads in Super Bowls. One especially with the Atlanta Falcons, when you're continuing to throw the ball, and all you have to do is run the ball because you're running it down their throat, and you continually throw the ball, and then you turn around and do it as the head coach. Jackass.
Jackass for sure. Jimmy Garoppolo starring in a future season of The Bachelor.
What the hell is this doing?
I mean,
on
he
here?
Might be out of the league over the next year or two.
Do you watch The Bachelor? Is that what you're trying
to
tell us?
I do not watch The Bachelor.
I think that's what you're trying to tell us here.
Diaz,
jackass.
You have a lifetime of watching chick flicks ahead of you.
Wow.
Enjoy it, my friend.
You know, I remember seeing, when was it, a couple of years ago, Jimmy Garoppolo's girlfriend. You guys remember seeing that?
It was the porn star.
I thought you were going
to
She was literally a porn star.
Yes, no, yes. She was.
I'm like Jimmy G. Like, he's got some. He's a. What we say earlier? What's that word? Playa?
Playa? Yes, right, yeah. Playa, yeah.
Yeah, but.
Wow.
But you, what you were saying.
Can Dave get any whiter?
That's intentional, okay?
Well, who's Jeff Garcia's wife?
She's the best. She's Carmella. Of all time.
What did she do before that?
She was a Playboy
centerfold.
Okay, yeah. She's the best of what? What
was she? Best Eagles wife. Oh, best Eagles player wife of all time.
What about Jeff?
Apologies if you were married at the time you were an Eagle.
What
best Hank Baskins?
What was she doing?
No, Kendra? Please. Carmella and Kendra, not even. She was a Playboy.
She was a Playboy. Okay.
Playboy centerfold.
What about the
magazine centerfold?
This is a good time to plug one of our sponsors, Delilah's.
what about Jesse Palmer? He was a bachelor.
He was. That's why I'm saying.
I know.
He's a good looking man.
Eagle.
He's probably going to be out of the league in a few years. He's got nothing better to do.
So Jimmy G, I'll go kick ass.
So you were talking about plugging one of the sponsors. What did you say that was? The one you wanted to plug?
Delilah's.
Delilah's. I got no comment, but anyway.
we're putting no. women through medical school and law school.
Yeah, medical
right?
law school.
Yeah, that's what Quimby always says. So, hey.
No. They're budding actresses and models, and they're going to nursing school. So they say.
Budding actresses and models are mattresses.
Gee, kick-ass and jackass.
what was kick-ass or jackass?
Kick-ass or jackass, Jimmy Garoppolo starring in the future season of The Bachelor.
Jackass.
I'm going to go with Jackass as well, but I think it's hilarious. If he does do it, I'm not going to watch it, but I will follow for sure. No doubt about it. Attending alumni weekend at North Dakota State University with Trey Lance and Carson Wentz.
This is a trick question. No one graduates from North Dakota State University.
They're alumni.
Jackass. They didn't graduate.
Kickass. Carson was a straight-A student.
No, God.
I'll give Carson a break. Hey, kick ass.
Yes, give the man a break.
Yeah, give him a break.
Man, please, jackass.
Thank you, Hollis.
Get the complete hell out of here.
Kick ass. It'd be fun to go back and watch those guys.
Yeah, right.
Mix it up with still their former teammates.
We still want them to play so we can get that draft.
That's true. That's right. That's right.
Absolutely. We got to play nice here.
Get the complete hell out of here.
I knew that was going to spark Tang's ire. All right, number 7, going to a WWE event with George Kittle.
This is tough, man. You might get like a folding chair across the forehead.
He's a huge wrestling fan.
I'm going to say jackass. That'd be pretty kick-ass.
Okay.
Yeah, jackass. I'm not really into WWE. Done it, boxing, MMA, all that. Not into WWE.
Okay. Not into it, but I think it would be interesting, so I'll say kick-ass.
I'm going to say jackass. I'm into WWE, but I don't want to go with some chump from another squad.
Well, he does. He drinks beers like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Nobody cares.
Nah, man.
Is he a 49er? I'm a bird.
In that instance, I don't care. It'd be a lot of fun to hang out with him.
No, it wouldn't.
Well, Jahari Evans was never a...
But I was on the same team as him.
And he's from Philly.
Ah, that's right.
He's from Philly. And we both... And I got traded. And the pick I got traded for, guess who they picked?
Jahari Evans.
You were saying...
There you go. We have some connections there.
Yeah, you were saying good things. Mazel.
Number 8. Being in the locker room with Mike Singletary when he wants winners.
Kick ass, just to see the players laughing while he was yelling at this. Kick ass.
Kick ass. Although a lot of spit during COVID, I'm not sure if I'm down with that, but like, yeah, normally yes.
Well, knowing your connections, you'll probably have to do it through Zoom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think winning, it's all about kick ass. I would agree with that.
Yeah, strictly kick ass, because it was one of those things where a guy got a penalty that was unnecessary. So you guys
all just said that you want to be in the locker room when he dropped his pants in the middle of the locker room.
Yeah, you guys said jackass.
Nah. Did he drop his pants? I thought you were just talking about, he said he was talking about winners.
Yeah, but dropped his pants.
He dropped his pants in the middle of the locker room.
Well, you omitted.
That's what they do.
I didn't even know that.
First of all, you omitted that part. Second of all, it is horrible to even do that in front of me. What the hell was that?
I'll send you the
jackass.
Thank you for changing.
Maybe I said kick ass. I take it back.
Yeah, that's jackass. Yeah.
Put your clothes on. Put your clothes on, old man. Oh, sorry.
All right. I changed it to jackass.
And last but certainly not least, Frank Gore is someday still playing in the NFL and living in an over 55-year-old community.
He's consistent. He's great. He's a Hall of Famer.
He's constantly on, man. He found the fountain of youth.
Gotta love Frank Gore.
What you got for me, though?
I'm gonna go. Let the man retire and be able to walk. I'm gonna go jackass. Get out of the game, Frank.
I'll say kick ass. If he can do it.
Thank you.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, but if he can do it.
I'm gonna say kick ass because they're gonna take me out kicking and screaming. Now they didn't take me out kicking and screaming. They took me out by doing some stuff that 19-year-olds do, and I was ready to go home. And I'm a man, and I win.
You win.
Yes.
You know, it's funny because Terrell Owens is still trying to play in the NFL.
Nobody wants him.
Well,
he's
toxic. Nobody wants the baggage.
No, he's toxic. There's no baggage.
He's 40 years old.
Yeah, he's 40.
He's older than that.
No, he's 40. He's 48 or 49.
Oh, he's 48?
Yes. Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
I'm 47.
How old? Look it up, T.O., real quick.
You look him up.
I don't have a laptop.
Look him up on your phone, sucker.
T.O. age. Come on.
Really old.
No.
I got it.
What is it? What is it?
47 years old. 47.
Wow.
You're 48 this year.
Hollis, are you a drink?
You don't
Born on Pearl
you
Harbor.
You don't owe me anything.
47.
Just kneel and kiss my pinky ring, and we're good. Somebody get a camera, would you?
Well, it's all good, because if Dave does owe you a beverage, he can do so right after we're done the show, because we're about to wrap it up. I'd like to thank everybody here. The panel is fantastic. G. Cobb,
for stopping by and joining us here tonight and hanging out with us the last couple hours. Hollis Tank Thomas, Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, Michael Shut Up Diaz, my man Slash, John Jansen back in the studio, Super Sam over here running the board, and everybody else that came out here to hang out with us at the Crab du Jour in Delran, New Jersey, Route 130 North. We'll be right back here on Green Legion Radio this upcoming Sunday. All right, from 10 to 11 for the pregame show. So
pre-game
make sure you guys
show.
Check us out. Hang out with us from 10 to 11 as we take you into Eagles, Niners.
And then Jason Avant next week.
Jason Avant next week, so make sure you guys come on out and hang out with us then. So 102.5, Fox Sports The Gambler. We're Bud Light, Green Legion Radio, The Player Show. Thank you guys for joining us again this evening. Have a great rest of your night, and we'll talk to you on Sunday morning. Go Birds!
CGP!